Good morning, and welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and we are going to have an hour filled with all kinds of good insights and information, especially if you're an entrepreneur. But as I've told you with every show, you want to be sure you have a pad of paper and a pen handy, because there's always good things you're going to want to write down, including our toll-free telephone number that you'll be able to call into later on in the hour, 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. For those of you that desire to be an entrepreneur, or if you are that entrepreneur and you are looking at doing business, at taking care of things, and you're saying, oh, I wonder if this could happen, or if I wonder if that could happen, well, my guest today is going to give you some insights into some experiences that various people in business have had. Her name is Carol Frank. We're going to be talking about her publication, Do As I Say, Not As I Did. And this is Gaining Wisdom in Business Through the Mistakes of Some Highly Successful People. Carol, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Donna. This is very exciting for me to be here.
Now, where are you located? Where are your offices?
I am in Dallas, Texas. It's a beautiful, sunny, very hot 95-degree day.
Oh, thank you. 95 degrees.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, Carol, you are a business entrepreneur. You have launched 5 different companies over the years. You have felt like you've gained a level of expertise about running a business and have interacted with a number of entrepreneurs. And as a speaker, you've encountered people on all levels financially in business. You decided you wanted to do this book. Why?
It all started when I was suffering through a particularly difficult time in my business. I have kind of 2 careers. I am a speaker and an author of the book, Do As I Say, Not As I Did. But it all started when I became an entrepreneur 18 years ago, and then I've started 4 companies in the pet industry. And one of the companies I own, called Avian Adventures, we manufacture a line of high-end premium bird cages and accessories. Well, we were suffering through a particularly difficult time in my company because of some mistakes I had made. I was being sued by my largest competitor, who was desperately trying to put me out of business by suing me. And some of the reasons he was able to do that were, frankly, some things that I probably could have controlled, and had I had to do over again, would have done differently. So I was beating myself up about it, like many of us often do when we make mistakes. And I was kind of lamenting my tales of woe one day to a fellow entrepreneur who works for an organization called Young Entrepreneurs Organization, or YEO. And he was telling me that he runs across entrepreneurs all the time who had gone through similar mistakes, and that they were always beating themselves up about it. And I thought, well, you know, first of all, it would be nice to know that other people make these kind of mistakes, so that we can learn from them. And also, it'll make us feel a little bit better about the mistakes that we make if we know that, first of all, other people make mistakes, and that we don't have to make them if we can learn from theirs. So I just got this idea of putting my big, huge blowout that cost me 85% of my revenues in 1 year, and in combining them with other intriguing and compelling stories from entrepreneurs who were successful but who have suffered major setbacks. And I thought, wouldn't it be great if we could put all that together in a book? And since I was speaking, that was just perfect thing to go along with my speaking.
Now, you have 29 different people in business in your book.
Mm-hmm.
What qualified them to be chosen? Because I know you interviewed a lot more than 29.
Yeah, I did. I interviewed probably 50 or 60. Well, the biggest qualification was that, first of all, they had to have a whopper of a mistake or setback or adversity. And really, mistakes are what I looked for. I think people that would be able to say, okay, here's what happened, and if I had to do it all over again, here's what I would have done differently, so that when you read this chapter, you will have take-home value, because you will know what not to do. So I was looking for some interesting and compelling stories. And out of the 29 people, Donna, there's four or five of them that you would definitely have heard of. Say the Jeff Taylor, who founded Monster.com, and the founder of the Container Store, Kip Tindall, the founder of Hoover's and Bookstop, Gary Hoover. So I was looking for some high-profile people, and then that were willing to share their mistakes. But also the majority of the people in the book, and you'll be interested to know that 14 of the 29 were women, and we make very interesting types of mistakes, are people maybe you haven't heard of that just had some real whoppers of some costly mistakes, and that they would be interesting to read about, because that's the ultimate goal, is to have people want to pick up this book and read the whole thing.
Absolutely. Let's take one of the cases in point, William Bill Cawley. Now, his company is Cawley International, and his industry is commercial real estate, and his revenues are just a mere $25 million a year. And most of us would just gasp and say, whoa, wouldn't that be nice? Isn't he lucky? However, the first sentence in the story about Bill is, I've made tons of mistakes. Now, many people, when they think of going into business, feel like if they have all the preparation in the world, they're just going to just go through and never have any mistake. That isn't the case, is it?
No, it's never the case. And if you're not willing to be able to make mistakes and pick yourself up and brush yourself off and get back in the game, then you probably don't want to start a business.
Now, with Bill, he did some very interesting things. Tell us Bill's story. What was the biggest message that he wanted to give?
Well, Bill's chapter is one of my favorites. And by the way, Bill has since grown his company to even much since the book came out a year ago. He's probably doubled. He is just blowing and going and tremendous success story in Dallas and in real estate. But Bill has two very compelling lessons in his chapter. One is that he started his business after working for a big, huge real estate company. And he had been doing big deals with big companies. And so when he started his own business, he just assumed that he needed to go after big deals with big companies. However, he was just a single-person shop. And so, but he just went after the big guys because he just thought that's what he needed to do. And so he spent about a year flying all over the place and chasing down these big companies that were looking for real estate. But what he didn't realize is that they weren't willing to do business with a small little shop like Bill had. And so he called and called and called, and they just wouldn't do any business with them. And so after 12 months of calling on these huge companies, he did not get a dollar or dime's worth of business. So what did he do? He started calling on smaller and local companies and startups. And people, maybe they had half a dozen employees, but you know what? They were willing to take his call, and they were willing to see him. And he ended up starting with that and then growing the business and got to the point where he was able to build the staff and then call on those big companies. But you just don't necessarily need to go after the big guys. Sometimes it's the smaller ones that'll be your bread and butter.
Mm-hmm. It all depends on what it is that... And I think that there is a learning curve with that, because so often we'll go to different environments and different people say, well, this is the only way to do it, or that is the only way to do it. Mm-hmm. And often we do have to be aware that there's more than one way to cook a chicken.
Well, that's true, and that it's not always – there's another chapter in here that has a similar message. Amelia Antonetti with SoapWorks. And she was looking for a PR. She really wanted to get a lot of PR for her company. And so what did she do? And she was a little small company. She went without a salary for a year so she could hire the biggest name PR firm she could afford. And they were this huge company. Well, she was the small potatoes, and they really didn't pay any attention to her. They were too busy working with the big companies that paid them huge dollars. And she was kind of shuffled off to the side. And as a result, she got very little out of that. So what did she do? She went back and hired a small PR firm where she was a significant portion of their business. They put together a great guerrilla marketing campaign, real hands-on. And now Amelia's been on Oprah, and she's been on CBS Morning Show, and she's done really well. So she learned a valuable lesson that bigger is not always better.
Mm-hmm. So it all depends on the circumstances. And sometimes when you will... Some people can shoot out of the cannon and can go for big, and it's it works somehow or another. But for most people, it's been my observation, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it's incremental. There are levels of growth, and sometimes you reach a point where you even wonder if you want to grow anymore. And then all of a sudden something shoots out from one direction that says, hey, we want what you have over here, and you find you have an entirely different market arena that nobody else knows about and that you're going to have a first chance to get into.
That's so true. That's how so many businesses grow, and then also offshoots. Like for me, I've started all these businesses, and one came after the other, came after the other, after what you just described. I'm in one business, and then I see this opportunity that comes out of nowhere that comes to me and says, you know, we need this. And as an entrepreneur, most of us are always looking for new ideas, and then we, you know, we start another business based on that opportunity. And you're right. So sometimes you just never know what's going to come your way. You have to be open to the opportunity and willing to explore new, you know, new ideas. The other thing I wanted to mention, you talked about Bill Cawley's.
We've got to wait just a second.
Okay.
We're going to have to go to a break, and I want to let my listeners know that we're talking with Carol Frank. She's calling in from Dallas, Texas. Her book is Do As I Say, Not As I Did, and it's in all the bookstores. And we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll follow up with what Carol was talking about, and also we may talk a little bit about chopsticks. Now, if you wonder what that is, well, you're going to have to stay tuned, aren't you, to find out. Don't you go away now. Donna Sebo. We'll be back in just a moment.
Enter the magical world of God's Kiss.
Johnny finds himself at the entrance to a large open valley, framed by high mountains rich in the brown-red colors of the earth. He stands in awe, even a little fearful of the mountain's great size. After all, he's just a little boy and not very tall.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling, and the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com. That 800 number again, 872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and I want to remind you my guest this afternoon is Carol Frank. Her wonderful book is Do As I Say, Not As I Did. Carol, I had to interrupt you. And before we start talking about chopsticks, did you want to finish your particular comments that you were making?
Well, you had asked about Bill Cawley's story, and I had mentioned that there were two major lessons in there, and I really liked the second. The second lesson was a very unique story about how he got into he was blowing and going with his real estate company. He had dozens of employees and was working his tail off and assuming that he needed to do that and that the business was all, you know, kind of held together by him and he was the spearhead, and a lot of us entrepreneurs are that way, until he got into a near fatal motorcycle accident that put him in the hospital for about a year. And he couldn't even brush his teeth. He could not do anything. He was completely helpless, flat on his back. And his employees stepped up to the plate and ran that business and kept it going and really just surprised the heck out of him. And as he put it, his vertical organization turned into a horizontal organization because they didn't have to have him there for, you know, for things to happen. And so he really let go of a lot of his need to control, and it has been the best thing for him. And he's learned so that he doesn't have to be there all the time and that he can enjoy his life so much more. And so I thought that was a great story and a great lesson.
Well, I agree. Now, every business has its challenges. And there is a gentleman whose business, it's P&M Cedar Products, Cal Cedar, and they make specialty wood items. And when I came across this and it was talking about chopsticks, I thought, how often do we use chopsticks when we go out for Oriental food? And I would never, ever have imagined the challenges that this man faced with his business. Now, you've got to share this with us because we take so much for granted We don't have a clue about what people have to deal with in business. Share this story with us.
That's so true. Yeah, Michael, he actually, the company that you're referring to, the wood product company, the one product that they do make that a lot of people are familiar with is the Duraflame log. And so that's the one, like, consumer products they can identify with. But once upon a time, and this guy is brilliant. He's a Harvard MBA, and he's just done amazing things with his businesses. But once upon a time, he decided that to make chopsticks, that there was an opportunity for, they were up in the Vancouver area, and they saw this opportunity to make chopsticks, and they were producing a million to a million and a half chopsticks a day ultimately. But what it took to get there is amazing. They sent somebody over to Japan from their company to research the chopstick market, and this person was not Japanese. And what they, you know, what they just assumed, a chopstick is a chopstick. You know, I mean, that's what we think, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's definitely not the case. What they learned, because the guy came back and said, okay, here's a chopstick, and let's make these chopsticks. Well, what they learned is that there are basic chopsticks, and then there are chopsticks that most Asian restaurants in the U.S. use, and it's got a special name, and they're very specialized. And so, you know, you think about the fact that there are different kinds of forks. Like, there's the kind of fork that you'd find at KFC, you know, or there's the kind of fork that you might find at a much higher-end restaurant. And
mm-hmm.
and so what they realized is that they were making these chopsticks that were the basic kind of, you know, fork kind of plastic KFC fork chopsticks, when that's not what their market was looking for. And so the guy they hired just didn't know the quality standards. And so they lost about $6 million in this experiment for chopsticks, until they finally realized that what they did is they finally got it right and realized the quality of chopsticks are wildly different, and that the mark was looking for this higher end chopstick, and that, you know, you just, a chopstick is not a chopstick. And that goes, of course, for a lot of different types of businesses, right?
Oh, absolutely. There are just so many businesses. Now, he, as you said, he's a very, very intelligent man, but he has so many questions that he feels people need to ask. Have you met and exceeded your client customer expectations? And if you haven't, you really need to make sure that you are able to meet the quality requirements. And his story is a good example of questioning who is the qualified person to go and do the research.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
If you're dealing with another culture, you need somebody that understands that culture. And again, we don't think anything about it. There's so many things we just automatically think would be fine. But when it comes to variations on themes, even here in the U.S., there are different things, different businesses that people go into when they're taking care of certain types of entertainment or whatever. And there's standards and there's expectations. So you really need to have somebody that has a little bit of a background somewhere and has the expertise, especially with another culture. Now, you have so many interesting people. You've got Jeff Stepler, who's into corporate training. You've got Rosemary Rossetti, and she has Rossetti Enterprises. You have so many women that you brought into positioning in your book. Was there a particular theme that was common among all of these women that you interviewed?
Well, that's actually one of the favorite questions for people to ask me, because the answer is a resounding yes. Women. The women's types, the type of mistakes that women make are different, and they have a different orientation than the types of mistakes that men make. And I didn't realize this going into the book, and it wasn't anything I had planned. But after interviewing these dozens of women, and of course the first chapter of the book is my chapter, which is the most brutal and gut-wrenching one, called When the Birdcage Lady Sings. And then I ended up with 13 other women, and I look back and I realize, aha, here's what we do. We do make different types of mistakes. Would you like to know what they are?
Oh, of course.
Well, when you read there's different sections of the book. There's a whole section called When Good Partners Go Bad, and that's about partnerships, and that's probably the biggest section. Another one called Employees, A Necessary Evil, and that's another pretty big section. But those two sections deal with relationships, right? The relationships you have with your partners, the relationships you have with your employees. And that's where the majority of the women's chapters fall into, because we tend to make mistakes based on the fact that we are naive and trusting with people, and that we just assume that other people are the way we are, because just because we wouldn't do something doesn't mean somebody else wouldn't do it. So, you know, sometimes when somebody lets you down, you think, well, I would never do that. Well, that's what we women have a tendency to do. So we're very trusting, and we're very naive, and we assume people will do things, and that comes back to bite us in the butt. More than anything that I can say that women do is that we don't do enough thorough due diligence. We don't do enough research on, be it our business partners. The story in there about Dr. Judith Briles, business partner, you may know who she is. She's written 20 books. She's an amazing speaker and author. But her story is about going into business with a woman partner that she thought she knew very well. Mm-hmm. And it turned out the woman had a cocaine habit and cost Judith $1 million, ultimately, mm-hmm. that she mm-hmm. went into business with this woman.
I've known men, though, that have had partners that have done that very same thing.
Well, you know, if that isn't, you're right. It's not like that it can't happen to men. But I do think that we women tend to be more, you know, we just put our trust in people and our faith in people without doing enough thorough research. Now, I'm sure that it happens with both sexes, but just the theme along the lines of the women are that we don't check the references of our employees enough. We don't check to make sure our suppliers will do what they say. I mean, in my case where I did business in foreign countries, you know, the two words "no problem" were probably said to me 1,000 times. Well, you know what? It was a problem. And if I eventually learned to believe that the words "no problem" didn't mean that, you know. So, but anyway, ultimately that seemed to be the common theme.
Now, you have in here Sanjay Singhal, and he said he could be a poster child for business mistakes. In fact, he could teach business failure. Now, there's not many people that would happily say that in front of anybody. And here he is being so outspoken about it. Tell us his story.
Well, it was very interesting that I got, you know, and Sanjay's, some people really know him more than anything by, he's a world-class poker player, and apparently he shows up on TV all the time. A very fascinating guy. But it was interesting the number of people that were willing to come out and share their war stories that were not afraid of looking bad, because they were more committed to making sure that people learned from their mistakes and that there were some lessons there and that they could share. And Sanjay had a whole series of mistakes, and his interview was fascinating. And he has so many that I don't know which one to choose. And I don't want to go over the whole chapter.
No, we can't. We've only got a couple of minutes. You're not going to be able to do that.
But, I can say that that one of the things that he did when he was first out of college is that he, you know, we have a tendency to be very optimistic when we start companies, and we think we're going to do so well, and it's great to have optimism, but it's important to have realism, too. And he started a little videotape delivery business, and he spent his entire marketing budget on a direct mail campaign, thinking they were going to get like 50% return rate, and it took all of their money. And they got a 2% return rate, mm-hmm. and it was like he felt so stupid afterwards. But he looked back and he realized that they had this very overblown optimism, but they really didn't do enough checking around and asking people. If they had, they would have realized that 50% never happens with direct mail.
This is Donna Sebo, and my guest today is Carol Frank. Her book is Do As I Say, Not As I Did. And she has a website, carolfrank.com. And we do have a couple of books to give away. So if you want to call in to our toll-free number of 877-876-5227, we'll be able to take your information, and then we'll be sure that you get a free book. Donna Sebo here, and it's been so delightful, Carol, having you as a guest. Your book, Do As I Say, Not As I Did, Gaining Wisdom in Business Through the Mistakes of Highly Successful People. Very well done. Congratulations, and thank you for being my guest today.
Thank you very much, Donna.
This is Donna Sebo. Telephone lines are going to be open in just a little bit. And that telephone number, if you'd like to get a free copy of Do As I Say, Not As I Did, 877-876-5227 is the telephone number to call into, and also if you want to chat during the second half of the hour. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a moment. Don't you go away now.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and this is an hour of Mind Power, and I'm so glad you're with me today. And we do have one book left of the two that were giveaways, so if you would like to have a free copy of the book Do As I Say, Not As I Did by Carol Frank, then give us a call at 877-876-5227. And also, you can call that same number if you would like to chat with me directly. I understand we have a caller. Caller, welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Hi, I'm Michelle. I'm calling from Ohio, near Columbus.
Okay, now, where in Ohio are you calling from?
Around Columbus, Ohio.
Around Columbus.
Yeah.
All right. Very good. Now, the first thing I am looking at, Michelle, is that you're going to need to pay particular attention to cultivating your communication skills. I'm seeing something that you are going to want to put into a written format. And what I would say to you is, when you're wanting to do this writing, whatever it is, just write it out. If you're on a computer, just type it out. Don't worry about grammar or anything else. Just get it out of you. And then, if you have a computer, put it into a file, give it a title, and then let it rest. And then print it out so that you can review it at a later time, and then start allowing what you have written to gain its own form. And you'll be able to tweak it, and you'll be able to be very, very clear in what you're trying to communicate, and it will just be a level of skill development that you will be very, very happy that you have taken the time to involve yourself with, as well as develop even
further.
Because I think there is going to be a few items that you're going to publish, and these are going to be well received. Also, what I'm looking at is a consideration for a move, and you would love to redecorate your place.
Oh, yes.
Oh, you would just absolutely love to do that. And what I would say to you is, have fun when you are looking at how you would like to redecorate things. Because you can do it economically, you can have just these wild, whimsical ideas, or you can be extremely sophisticated, and you're not going to have to put in a lot of money. But it's your imagination, and you just love going to flea markets, garage sales, and just perusing around to see what you can find. Have a good idea of what you'd like to develop, and then I think you're going to find, for my goodness, less than $100, you could do a phenomenal job of redecorating, and people are just going to wonder how you do it. But it's just who you are. What question would you have for me today?
Well, you kind of answered my first question that I had, because I am in the process of trying to write a book with a friend, so that really helped me. I guess, could I ask you about my husband?
All right, what particular thing would you like to ask about your husband?
Just if he is going to be able to find a job or employment very soon.
Well, it depends on what he's looking for.
He's looking for anything at this point, because he's not really set. We do things at home, but he would like a job outside of the house.
All right, well, it depends on what he's looking for. If he's looking more for an office environment, he's going to have four different opportunities. He's not going to be excited about the pay level, but it will allow him to get his foot in the door, so to speak, if that's the venue he would like to follow. The other one that I'm looking out at that would take him out of doors, it would be a lot of physical labor, might pay him better, but he needs to really be with integrity to himself to ask himself if he really wants to put that much physical effort out. because I'm seeing an area of specialized work that would enable him, again, to make a very good living. But it would keep him on the road quite a bit. I'm seeing a truck. I'm seeing him driving around in it and doing some outside work that would give him, in one sense, a stress reliever, but in the other sense, it would be physically very, very demanding. So he really has a choice here. He really does.
Okay.
And I do believe that he's going to look at going back to school for some specialized training within a couple of years. But he's not quite ready to buckle down to do that yet.
Right. He's been talking about getting his MBA, so it's just a lot of talk right now.
Well, if he's going to go for that MBA, he's going to need to put some money aside, and he's really going to look at how he plans his time.
Right.
Because it is going to be very demanding. Very demanding. And I would support him in that. I think it's a great idea.
Yeah.
But I think he's going to have to plan for it, hon.
Right. Of course. It's just getting him to that point.
Michelle, thank you so much for your call.
Well, thank you.
I appreciate you calling in.
I appreciate
And you
it.
Have a wonderful, wonderful weekend.
You too. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Donna Sebo here, and our toll-free telephone number, if you'd like to call in and chat with me, let me light up your life with a little bit of insight, is 877-876-5227. Also, we do have one book that is left. If you would like to get a free copy, you can call into that number. And that's, again, 877-876-5227. And we will be delighted to make sure that you get your free copy from Carol Frank on Do As I Say, Not As I Did. For those of us that are pet lovers, it's just absolutely amazing what they do for animals. And I always enjoy going into novelty pet stores. It's just so much fun. But the bakeries have just been popping up all over the place, all over the country for animals. And I know I've seen them on television. The first time I was ever really exposed to an animal bakery, so to speak, was when I was in Kansas City. And it was absolutely adorable. And the dogs and just absolutely love it, the dogs and cats. They love to go in. They put on birthday parties, all kinds of things. Well, there is a bunch of them that have popped up in my area of the country, which is the Pacific Northwest. And there's all kinds of different places, again, all over the country. And they have organic cookies for kitties. They have all kinds of things. And veterinarians and various people who just have a real love of animals are so supportive of this. And I came across a recipe that was given, and it's was given from Cooking the Three Dog Bakery Way. This is a bakery facility. And you might want to write this one down if you have pets, but I will add a little bit of a Donna-ism to it just in case your pet has allergies. I think it was last week I was sharing how someone's German Shepherd could not have any kind of wheat products. And they found wheat products and some other things, and they had to change the animal's diet. Now, this recipe can be adapted. If you have an animal that should not have any kind of wheat product, I'll put in a substitution for you. So this is what it is. Now, your oven has to be preheated to about 400 degrees to make these, and I'll tell you exactly what they call them, the Yip Yap Banana Snaps. That's what they're called, the Yip Yap Banana Snaps. And this is what you mix together. You need 1.5 cups of all-purpose flour. Now, if you can't use the flour, then just take stone-ground oats, put them in your Cuisinart, and just let the steel blade grind it all into flour. And you can have oat flour that you can substitute. And you're going to need 1.5 cups of flour, whether it's oat flour or any other flour that you might want to use. All-purpose flour you can use too, depending on the needs of your animal. 1/2 teaspoon of baking soda, 1/2 teaspoon of baking soda, 3/4 teaspoon of ground cinnamon in a large bowl. You put all of those ingredients, the seasonings, the cinnamon, the baking soda, and the flour. And if you don't want to put cinnamon in, you don't have to put the cinnamon in. Maybe you want to add just a little bit of vanilla, whatever it is. Animals love people food, and this is so much like people food, but it's something that can be given to them. 3/4 cup of canola oil can be mixed in. Olive oil is not an oil that should be used when you're fixing something for dogs. And that surprised me. I wasn't aware of that. But there is something in the olive oil that can bother dogs a little bit. Check with your vet. But you can use any kind of vegetable oil. You can, and again, 3/4 cup of the vegetable oil, 2 large ripe bananas, and you want to mash them, 1/2 cup of honey, 1/2 cup of honey, and 1 large egg. And then you mix that all together until it's real smooth. And then you fold in an additional 1 3/4 cups of quick rolled oats. Just the straight oats. 1 3/4 cups quick rolled oats. And then you drop them by rounded teaspoons 1.5 inches apart onto 2 ungreased baking sheets, and you bake them 12 to 15 minutes until they're golden. And, of course, you let them cool, and then they'll be nice and crunchy for your beloved friend. Now, I don't know if cats are going to want those, but this is for the dogs. They're really for the dogs. Those are Yip Yep Banana Snaps. Donna Sebo here. We're going to be taking a break in just a little bit, and when we do, telephone line will still be open if you'd like to have that free copy of Do As I Say, Not As I Did by Carol Frank. Then just give us a buzz, or if you'd like to chat with me, 877-876-5227. We'll be back in just a moment.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today. 800-872-8852.
Hi, Donna Sebo here. 877-876-5227. If you'd like to call in and participate in the show, let me light up your life with a little bit of insight. I also wanted to let you know about the guests that are going to be coming up next week. We're going to be having Carol Buckley from Nashville, Tennessee area. We're going to be talking to her about the only elephant sanctuary in the United States. She takes elephants that no longer are performing, or maybe the zoos want to find a home for their elderly elephants, and she has this wonderful compound. This is just an incredible story. Her journey to reaching this point of being able to work with elephants is just absolutely awesome to listen to. Also, next Tuesday, we're going to want to talk to Dion Wheeler, and this is going to be all about sports scholarships. And this is so important for young people to be aware of the options and what you have to do to be accepted for a sports scholarship. There's just so much wonderful information that Dion will be sharing with us. Jack Olrich is also going to be talking with us next Wednesday about investing in nanotechnology, very, very significant arena for your financial considerations. And then Bob Berg, we're going to be talking with him about endless referrals. Referrals, my goodness, no one in business can do without them. How can you work with them so that they are going to accomplish what you want? And then we're going to have, towards the end of the month, we're going to have Thomas Kolopoulos, and we're going to be talking about smart sourcing. Yes, we're going to talk extensively about how work in a business, how you can smart source outside. You know, Carol Frank was talking about the problem she had when she was doing some work of getting production or product developed that was out of the country. Well, we're going to be touching on that. And then, of course, Jim Lomanson is going to be my guest. We're going to be talking about shadow boxers, sweat, sacrifice, and the will to survive. This is a profound book. It took 10 years of research for him to be able to get the photographs that he's got. Some major boxers, Muhammad Ali and some others are in there, and it's just absolutely incredibly well done. It's a masterpiece of a book on a sport that not many of us are involved with. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 877-876-5227. There's some things about Leonardo da Vinci. My goodness, we've had so much that's come out. We've had the Da Vinci Code that has been out, that the new movie that's out, and we've got all of these different programs where people have been experimenting with a lot of what Leonardo da Vinci centuries ago was working on, and how so much of it has been proven to be absolutely valuable and so well thought out a long time before any of it really was going to come to fruition. Well, there's a few points of detail that I was not aware of that I thought I would share with you today. Leonardo was the love child of Caterina, a peasant, and Ser Piero, a lawyer and a landlord. And he was homeschooled, and he lacked an education, a formal education, in Greek and Latin. He was an accomplished lyre player, and when he was first presented at the Milanese court, it was as a musician, not as an artist or as an inventor. And Bill Gates bought the Codex Rochester in 1995 for $30 million. And my husband and myself, well, we went down to, or went over to Seattle, and we saw this collection, and it was incredible, absolutely incredible. This manuscript that Bill Gates is now the proud owner of for $30 million is the only one not held in Europe. It includes the Da Vinci studies on hydraulics and the movement of water. So it's fascinating when you think of his time frame and what most people were thinking of and how he was so much out of the box. Absolutely amazing. Now, Leonardo loved water. He developed plans for floating snowshoes, a breathing device for underwater exploration, a life preserver, and a diving bell that could attack ships from below. And in one case, one had to do exactly that. He also was the very first person to explain why the sky is blue, and the sky is blue because of the way air scatters light. And also, and I didn't know this, he was ambidextrous, and he was also a paranoid dyslexic. Boy, would counselors have a good time with him. Leonardo could draw forward with one hand while writing backward with the other, producing a mirror image script that most people found very difficult to read, which is exactly the reason why he did it. And also, he designed an armored car, a set chariot, a pile driver, a revolving crane, a pulley, a lagoon dredge, and a flying strip. Now, as I mentioned earlier, there are those people that have been earnestly working on many of his concepts and ideas. In fact, I saw just a bit of a program last night. Now, man, I wasn't able to watch the whole show, but I just got a little bit of a glance at what was going on. And he designed a plane that wings flapped up and down like a bird's wing. It was absolutely amazing. And it flies. Just incredible. Well, in 2000... December 2000, skydiver Adrian Nicolai landed in South Africa using a parachute built from one of Leonardo's designs. And Leonardo, just like Michelangelo, did a lot of dissecting of cadavers. That's how he learned about the body. And he worked with these cadavers. He wasn't afraid of them. You can just imagine how badly they smelled. But he would replace the muscles with strings to determine how they work. So his curiosity was just incredible. And he crushed intelligent design before anyone even thought of it. His studies of river erosion convinced him that the Earth is much older than what's implied by history as we know it, and he argued that falling sea levels, not Noah's flood, left marine fossils on mountains. Who would have thought that this one man would still have such an incredible influence even on our modern world today? It's just absolutely amazing. I think the fact that he had such a passion for life, he had such a curiosity, such a zest, this is awesome. Now, for those of you that are in environments that you really would like to improve the air quality of, I have some suggestions for you. And they're in the form of plants. Yes, plants can do wonderful things inside your home to help you fight allergies, sleep more soundly, get more done, even soothe sunburns. And I know you know what I'm talking about when I talk about soothing sunburns. Most of you are very familiar with a wonderful plant called aloe vera. And I'll tell you something. I grow aloe vera in water. Yes. I have people walk into my home and they'll say, "Is that an aloe vera plant?" Mm-hmm, that's what it is. They'll say, "But it's in water. It's not in dirt." Well, What can I tell you? It just works. And the aloe vera plant is something we always have in our home because it is just phenomenal for dealing with sunburns or for any kind of burn, and even for insect bites. It's a wonderful, wonderful plant to have. And your plant should be about 3 to 5 years of age before you start cutting its leaves off to use for medicinal purposes, and that is only because that gives it a chance to grow and gain some maturity. And it just is a wonderful healer, and it's been known by cultures for centuries how at its value. But I was not aware that you could fight allergies with a rubber plant. This information came to me, and it is because the humidity that plants emit attracts dust and allergens to their leaves, so they're no longer in the air floating around, and it reduces allergy symptoms. And rubber plants especially have a high humidity content, so they're perfect for relieving allergies. Who would have considered that? Now, that information comes from horticulturist John Jameson, and snake plants. I know I have one in my office. They do a beautiful job of increasing the oxygen and removing chemicals from the air of your working environment, actually from any environment. And I think they would do wonderfully if you have a home office and you want to deal with all of the dust and the pollutants that come from operating computers and this type of thing. And they are a plant that requires so little care. They really just do such a good job. And it also keeps your air quality higher, and that brings more oxygen into your space. You're going to feel more alert, more productive. Now, bromeliad is the way it should be pronounced. It removes toxins that are often found in bedrooms. It's recommended to have this plant in your bedroom. And it can remove formaldehyde that's often found in plywood, furniture, clothes, and carpeting. And unlike most plants, which give off most of their oxygen during the day, the bromeliads give off oxygen at night, ensuring that you get a comfortable night's sleep. And then if you want a cleaner bathroom, have a peace lily. Plant-filled rooms contain up to 60% less mold and bacteria than rooms without plants, which means less cleaning for you. A peace lily also has the power to remove chemical vapors like acetone and alcohol found in bathroom items like hair products, cosmetics, and cleansers. Well, my goodness, we're almost at the end of the show. It's been just absolutely delightful being with you. And just remember that you are the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. And every time you learn something new, every time you open up your mind to new information and new insight, you're going to discover that you have got a lot more going for you than you ever could have imagined. And you know what? When you're willing to learn something new, you're also going to find that you're going to be able to share it with somebody that would never, ever have known how they could have improved their space. So every time you take a step forward, someone else is going to benefit. Because what do? We pass it along, don't we? And that's what this show is all about. This is Donna Sebo. It's been so delightful being with you. And have an absolutely fabulous weekend. And remember, live in the now. That's the best you've got. The future will take care of itself. Donna Sebo here. God bless. Talk to you on Monday. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.